This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
We're going to be preaching a message entitled Untied. Someone say Untied. And this will make sense. It'll make more sense as we go along. And turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through, I believe it's 1 through 9. Yeah, 1 through 9 together. And then we will go from there. Here we go. Mark chapter 11, verse number, starting at verse 1, ending at verse 9. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, Bethpage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, he, Jesus, sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, go into the village that is opposite you, and you will find, as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied. Someone say tied. Yeah. On which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it. Someone say, loose it and bring it. Yeah. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Tell them that the Lord has need of it. That the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. Wow. Tied by the door outside on the street. And they loosed it. But when some who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them, or they answered them, just as Jesus commanded. They said, because the Lord has need of it. So they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus. And notice this. And they threw their clothes on it, on the colt. And Jesus sat on top of the colt and then the clothes that had been placed on it. And many spread, someone say many. Many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches and trees and the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before, those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence. And God, I publicly announce that I can do nothing without the help of your Holy Spirit. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning to each of these people. God, we ask, Father, you know every personal situation here. And God, I'm asking you to bring healing, bring wholeness, bring answers, God, to those that are hurting. God, we thank you for revelation of truth that makes free. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and of revelation to be in operation in Jesus' name. God, I ask for fresh anointing upon me and upon our people to be the speaker and the hearer of that which heaven is declaring this morning. God, we declare, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, we are being built up in our faith, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God, I declare faith is rising in this place in Jesus' name. And because faith is rising, miracles are happening in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that we purpose to be not only hearers of your word, but doers thereof, and see transformation come into our lives as a result. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. 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 So, Mark chapter 11, verse 1 through 9 that we just read, the colt here represents somebody who does not know Jesus. It represents people who have never received Jesus Christ. Because notice what Jesus said. He said, go find the colt and untie it, and it'll be a colt on which no one has ever sat. So this denotes inexperience. This denotes somebody who has never allowed Jesus to come and take the seat of authority in their life as Jesus would take the seat of authority on this colt. So this colt represents people who simply don't know Jesus, inexperienced, on which no one has ever sat. So the seat of authority in their life is not being inherited by the one who was created for that seat of authority. How many of you know the only one that should have the seat of authority in our life is Jesus Christ? Amen? And so Jesus is talking, we see here by revelation of the Spirit, that one way that we can view this particular passage is that the cult can represent people who don't know Jesus. How many of you know there are cults all over Salinas who don't know Jesus? There are people all over Salinas who don't know Jesus and who need to come to a saving knowledge of who he is. And so there are people in our in our workplace, in our families, our friends, all over this city, and they are tied up. Someone say tied up. They are bound by fear. They are bound by insecurities. They are bound by confusion, by sickness, by addiction, and they have been limited. Notice, when you're tied up, you're limited. Is that right? You're limited. You're unable to discover your full potential, and this is where many people in Salinas find themselves. They are tied up. And they're looking for help, but they don't know where to find it. And so people look in alcohol and narcotics and drugs and prescription things and all that kind of thing and other vices and other places people search for peace. How many of you know every human being is searching for the love of God and the peace of God on the inside of them? But many times when they don't know where to look, they'll look to these other things. It doesn't mean they're bad people, but hurting people sometimes do things that normally they wouldn't if they'd found the answer for their lives. Amen? And so then we find that many people in Salinas are just this way. They're tied up. They're bound by these things, and they need help. They need somebody who can go find them, untie them, and orchestrate an introduction to a man named Jesus. Amen? Notice in verse 7, the disciples just brought the colt, the one who hadn't experienced Jesus, they just brought the colt to Jesus and orchestrated an introduction between the colt and the master. This is amazing because our job is not to do the saving. Our job is not to do the untying. Sometimes God will anoint us to untie, but we're not the one that unties. Jesus is the one who unties. And so our job isn't to do it, but our job is to introduce, is to orchestrate an introduction so that Jesus can do it. And so this is powerful. Write this down if you're taking notes. Untied ones untie others. Untied ones untie others. That means if Jesus has set you free from anything, then freely we have received and now freely we can go give. Is there anybody in here who has been set free from something in your life by our Lord Jesus Christ? Set free ones go help others get set free. Untied ones go help others get untied. And so we find then that one of the assignments of this ministry here at Celebration is to set up introductions between those who don't know Jesus and Jesus himself. We don't have to be special. We don't have to be highly educated or maybe not educated or highly wealthy or maybe not having so much. Well, it doesn't matter where we come from and our socioeconomic background. All that matters is that we are willing to set up an introduction between those who don't know Jesus and Jesus himself. Amen? And so anybody can do that. Anybody who is willing can orchestrate this introduction and go find. Someone say, go find. Yeah, so let me give you, I believe there's an anointing upon this ministry to see those who are tied up, bound by all kinds of different things, set free by the love and the power of Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time, and I'm going to ask those of you that believe it to go ahead and get in faith with me. I believe there's an anointing upon this ministry to see those who are tied up, bound by addiction, bound by depression, bound by discouragement, bound by all these different things. I believe there's an anointing upon this ministry to see them set free by the power and love of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so sometimes this is so important for us to realize that God didn't just save us to get us to heaven. God saved us so we could go save somebody else. And so let me give you, I believe that God showed me a few things from these verses, and I'm going to give you a couple of them. I want to share a few things that God showed me from these verses. Number one, Jesus said, go and find. Someone say, go find. Go find. Yeah, go find those who are tied up and untie them. Go find those who are bound in your workplace, in your family, those that you're around. Go find people who need Jesus. Go find people who don't know him. And you can untie them. You can introduce them to Jesus. You can invite them to church. Okay? This is a great way to set up an introduction that you bring people who don't know him into church this morning. Hallelujah. I feel my help coming in here already. Listen, this morning I preached this same message and I saw a young man. He was maybe in his mid-20s. He was standing outside. Looked like maybe in the past he had been had a rough life. But he's a young man, good-looking guy. And I saw him and I introduced myself as I was walking in this morning early before service. And he was just standing out there. And it looked as though he was pondering pretty deeply. And he's a young guy, 25 and something like that. And he came in, sat through the service. And God's power began to move. And this is a young man that looked like maybe there had been some affiliation maybe in the past or some things that he'd been through. And he was here. How many of you know I am grateful no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, you can come into God's house and receive his love and his power. I think we can do better than that. Is anybody grateful that he doesn't judge you? He don't care where you came from. He doesn't care if you was in the bar last night. He don't care if you was in the club last night. Listen, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. I need somebody to remember that Jesus set you free in the middle of your worst moment. He didn't judge you. He didn't condemn you. He had mercy on you. And does anybody believe that if he did it for me, he can do it for other people too? Come on, if you believe it, give your God a shout of praise in here. I'm grateful that in my weakest moments that he didn't shun me, but that he was right there to love me and lift me. Hallelujah. We shouldn't abandon people in their weakest moments. We should be there to encourage. We should be there to lift them up. We should be there to say, don't listen to the religious people that say that you're never going to make it. All you need to know that if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? I'm glad that if God is on my side, it doesn't matter who's not on my side. Come on, let the haters hate. If God be for me, everything's going to be okay. Shoo, someone say amen. So Jesus said, go look for them. Go look for the people that are tied up, and I'll help you untie them. This is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 says, go into all the world. And make, someone say all the world. He didn't say all the church. The church is saved. Church has been redeemed. Not that we don't need work. Come on, somebody. My God. He's the potter and I'm the clay. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Make me again into another vessel. Hallelujah. And so I feel like preaching this morning, if that's okay. But he said, go into all the world. Go into the places that certain people think, well, I don't know. That might be it's a little iffy. Come on, you were a little iffy. Come on, you were a little iffy, and somebody somehow came and found you. Jesus knows how to find you, and the good news is he said go into all the world. Go into your workplace and find them. Go into your family and find them, because there's still people, my friend, that are on their way to hell. There is a lost and dying generation. There is a devil that is after their soul. There is a devil that is trying to suck as many people into hell as he can. But I'm so glad that Jesus said, this is my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm so glad that the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I'm so glad that the Bible says the anointing still destroys yokes and removes burden. I am so glad we have been anointed to go reach people who don't know Jesus. The moment we get more excited about seeing other people saved will be the moment we can't contain what God does. Woo! So we've got to go after them. We've got to go find them. And so they're in your workplace. They're in your family. There's a scripture that says you and your household shall be saved. Anybody believing for you and your household? Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel in my spirit God's saying, get ready. Someone say, get ready. Someone say, get ready. I'm about to tell you something, and it's just up to you how you respond. But I've been believing for family members to be saved for years. I've been believing for unsaved people to be saved for years. I've been believing for people all over Salinas to see revival. And I'm hearing God say, get ready, get ready. It's about to be harvest time in Salinas, California. Can you see your family members being saved? Can you see unsaved people being saved? Can you see those that are far from God falling on their knees and saying, I need Jesus? Come on, man. You already in the church that praises God like that. Why'd you do that? Because I had to. Why'd you do that? Because they made me. No, I'm just playing. Don't even know where it came from, but James showed me a video today, and I liked it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on. The church is not dead. Feel this coming in me. The church is not dead, and the church is not weak. You are not dead, and you are not weak. You are mighty in God. You are a royal generation.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we're going to see people born again at a rate we've never seen. Someone say, if we'll go look for them and untie them.
A lot of churches won't go look for them because sometimes when you go look for them, there's some messes. But there were some messes with me, and Jesus is masterful at cleaning up messes. You're looking at one right now. Hallelujah. I think the problem with religious people is just they have a short memory. You know what I mean? They want to look down their bony nose at somebody else. When they come on, man, don't you remember what Jesus brought you out of? Amen. All right, so we go look for them and we find them. Someone say empty vessels. We go look for people who don't know Jesus. We go look for the cults that are tied up, those in our lives that are tied up. And I want to illustrate this another way. God began to show me this, that in 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a woman there whose husband had died. She had two sons, and the creditor was then coming to take her sons as payment for the debt that she owed. And so the man of God shows up in the midst of a famine and says, what do you have in your house? She said, a little oil and a little flour. And the man of God says, go borrow empty vessels. Go gather empty vessels. You may not understand this, but people who don't know Jesus are simply empty vessels. And so he says, so now we have a picture of him saying, go gather empty people and bring them to where the anointing can be poured out. Come on, somebody. Go gather empty people and bring them into a place where the anointing can be poured out. You may not realize it, but you're in a place where the anointing is being poured out. And the man of God said, go gather empty vessels and gather not a few. And when they gathered empty vessels, there was no oil to speak of. But when they brought the empty vessels in, the oil started to pour. Hallelujah. I prophesy that as we bring in empty vessels, the anointing is going to flow like it's never flowed before. Come on, the anointing for, y'all need to help me in here. The anointing for miracles is going to flow like never before. The anointing for healing is going to flow like never before. The anointing for salvation is going to flow like never before. Is anybody ready for the anointing oil to flow like it's never flowed before? We just need to go gather some empty vessels. Remember this, that untied ones untie others, and rescued ones rescue others. It is an assignment from God. This is the great commission to every believer. Go. Someone say go.
Go.
Didn't it just say go to church? It said go look for people who are tied up and make disciples. Untie them by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the anointing upon your life. I'm going to tell you how. I'm not going to be one of those preachers that just shouts that you need to do it and then don't tell you how. I'm going to shout that you need to do it, and then I'm going to tell you how. Hallelujah. All right? If you've been rescued by God, God expects you to go rescue others. Someone say that's Bible. Yeah, can't argue with Bible. You can argue. Well, I mean, you could. It's just unwise. It's ill-advised. Don't argue with the Bible because you're wrong every time. All right? Okay, so then, come on, are you receiving anything thus far?
Yes.
All right, so then how do we untie people and introduce them to the love and the power of Jesus? Number one, pray for them. People in your everydays, people in the workplace that you know, that God puts on your heart, people in your family, friends, someone that you meet, if God tells you to begin to pray for them, begin to pray for them. And I'm going to tell you how, twofold prayer that we see from Scripture. Number one is pray for the Holy Spirit to soften their heart. The enemy and life will try to harden people's heart. The enemy will try to bring situations and hurt and pain and rejection, abandonment, people being hurt and have wounds from the past. And so now their heart is hard and they don't want to hear about a good God because their life has been so marred by difficulty. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so the enemy tries to harden people's hearts, and it is now the job of believers to begin to pray for the activity of the Holy Spirit upon their mind and upon their heart so that their heart will be softened, so that when God begins to send people to them, that their heart will be open and ready to receive it. Amen? And so this is why the Bible says in John 6:44, I wanted to make sure I had the right reference. John 6:44 says, Jesus said, no man comes unto me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So no man comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. And when we pray for the Holy Spirit to soften hearts and begin to move on their hearts, we are allowing the Father to begin to draw them to himself. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Maybe some of our friends and family aren't saved yet because we haven't prayed for them. God does nothing unless somebody prays first. God set it up this way. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. God is still looking for somebody who will pray. Come on, somebody say pray. Yeah, you can't leave it all up to the pastor. Every believer needs to be praying. What happens when God gets a church praying? The devil is afraid of a church that prays. That's why he'll fight you every way. He'll put your favorite TV shows on and have notifications come up on your phone when you start praying. And, oh, my God, I got to go get the groceries. And, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. Listen, somebody needs to be praying. Praying for those who don't know Jesus. Praying for those who are far away from God. Those cults that are tied up. Praying, God, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to move on their hearts. God, I thank you. I declare the word of God over them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. I plead the blood of Jesus over their mind, over their emotions, over every part of them. Hallelujah. God, I thank you that you give your angels charge concerning them to guard them in all of their ways. God, I thank you that you lead them and that you guide them. Hallelujah. You begin to pray. Someone say pray. Pray for those who don't know Jesus. So number one, you pray for the activity of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, to begin to soften their hearts, all right? So that the seed of God can be planted in them. Amen. And then number two is you pray for laborers to be sent across their path. This is Bible. I know many of you may not even understand this, but this is Jesus teaching us how to pray for the lost. Matthew 9:38. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. Someone say harvest. The harvest are those who don't know Jesus. The harvest is unsaved people. They say that there are 8 point whatever billion people on the planet. And an estimate is 1 to 2 billion people profess that they know Jesus. So that means then for every one person who knows Jesus in Salinas, there's at least 6 who don't know him. You've heard the story of the concentration camps. You've heard the story that the train that carried the victims of the concentration camps to the concentration camps to be killed, incinerated, would pass by a church. And the church knew they would hear the screams of the people who were on their way to the concentration camps. And the church knew it. So when the train started coming by, they would just turn up the music and sing louder. I wonder if we in the church are passing by people every day who are on their way to hell. And we see their screams when they look for drugs and they look for sex and they look for every other thing to try to fill them. And we just say, let's just sing a little louder. Not here at Celebration. We're not just going to sing a little louder. We're going to get out of our church and go find people who don't know him and say, Jesus, you can untie them. I think we need a huge, come on, a releasement of our faith right there. Come on, church, we're not going to sing a little louder and hope it passes by. We're going to go after people who don't know Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, give God a shout of praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. All right, so that's number one. Number two is, so number one, pray for them. And really, the number one had a twofold meaning that you pray for the Holy Spirit to soften their heart. And then number two, you pray for laborers. I didn't get to share that with you. But the harvest is those who don't know Jesus. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. The harvest are those who don't know Jesus. The laborers are Christians. That's why the Bible says we are co-laborers together with Jesus, with God. So, amen. So when I pray for unsaved people, I pray, God, I thank you that you send anointed laborers across my cousin's path with exactly the right words to say at the right time. This is how Jesus said to pray for the lost. How many of you think he knows what he's talking about? How many of you, this is the first time you've heard of praying for unsaved people this way? Lift your hand. Come on, don't be, come on, man. This isn't a test. You're not going to fail. How many of you have heard of this teaching before? Let me see your hands. The rest of you are liars. I'm just kidding. Like, people don't want to raise their hand in church like, oh, no, I can't look like I don't know what I'm doing. We all know you don't know. Listen, man, this right here is a scriptural way of praying. Now, why is it important to pray according to the word of God, according to scripture? Because Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be given to you. The reason why prayers are not answered is because people are praying unscriptural prayers. I'm not going to pray for things that God has already promised me. I'm going to say, God, you promised me divine health, so therefore I claim that promise. You bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains. By your stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. So therefore I claim that promise. I stand upon that promise, and now I'm giving. I believe I received that promise, and right now I'm going to praise you until I see it in my body. Amen. So I don't pray for things that he's already provided. Okay, I pray according to the word of God. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. So what if we all started praying scripturally for people who don't know Jesus? Prayer is going to be answered when we pray according to God's word and we stay in faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For they who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we want to pray in faith and want to pray according to the word of God. This is how we get our prayers answered every time that we pray. That, come on, how many of you know the New Testament is a covenant signed in the blood of Jesus? Amen? Amen. So I don't have any more time to go into that. Number two, show unsaved people, whether they be family, friends, coworkers, whoever, show them love and kindness. Every person on the planet is simply looking for one thing: the unconditional, unending love of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who will fulfill a person on that, in that depth of a level which nothing else on this planet can touch. Why are people who are millionaires and who have everything, quote unquote, that the world says you're supposed to, that you need to have to be happy? Fame, fortune, money, all of that. And yet they are still miserable. Because there is a place in every human spirit that only the love of God can quench. Hallelujah. And so we show them the love and the kindness. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We show them kindness. We show them love. When your flesh wants to flip them off. You show them the love and the kindness of God. What if people don't go to hell simply because you chose to be loving to them? And you being loving to them opened their heart for the gospel to be preached and them to receive Jesus. Amen? All right, so number two, show them. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, 8, the last clause of the verse says that love, first clause of the verse, love never fails. The love of God never fails when it comes to any relationship and any person. When you walk in the love of God, that will not fail you. Someone say amen. All right, number three, tell them your story. Tell them your story. What has God done for you? The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you begin to testify to others what Jesus has done in you, it's prophetic to them. They don't even know what prophecy is. They don't even understand any kind of a prophetic whatever. But there is a spirit of God, the spirit of prophecy, that is conveyed to them. And what is it? What is the spirit of prophecy? That if Jesus did it for you, he can also do it for them. Amen. You do realize that when you are telling your story, bragging on what God has done for you, the Holy Spirit is working on that person saying, if I can do it for them, I can do it for you too. That's the awesome thing about this. Anytime you go share the gospel, anytime you go share your story with somebody, you're not doing it alone. He's right there to help you. That's why the Bible says in the very moment you open your mouth, God will give you the words to speak. Amen? Come on, come on, man. Just because I'm not talking about your prosperity, is he ever going to talk about what's going to bless me? This is going to bless you. Experts say never preach on evangelism. And I don't know who made them experts, right? Experts say never preach on the Holy Spirit. Experts say only preach on peace and on love and on joy and on how to make your marriage better, how to make your kids better, and how to make more money. Because it's all self-serving. God wants you to have all of those things, but you're going to have none of those things without the power of the Holy Spirit. Not that we won't teach what the Bible says concerning those things. We want all of those things for every person that comes to celebration. But we have found out that if we are all about you, you and we will end up being miserable because the selfish life is the miserable life. It is the life that is laid down for Christ that becomes abundant. Man. I feel like I'm preaching better. And maybe it's just because, you know, the Holy Spirit's stepping on some toes. I don't know. But... All right. Hashtag, it's going to get better. Hallelujah. Here we go. All right, so you show them love and kindness. Number three. Someone say number three. Yeah, I just told you number three. Hallelujah. Tell them your story. Last one, and then we'll move on to one more thing before we dismiss. Obey what God says to do with every person. Obey what God says to do with every person. Whatever God says to do with each particular person. He may tell you to buy a particular person a meal, and you're like, get thee behind me, Satan, you know? Right? He may tell you to do something. He may tell you to bless somebody that you want to not bless, right? He may tell you to be a listening ear when you feel like telling somebody like exactly what they need to hear. But God will just say, no, just stay quiet and just listen. Show them love. But come on, how many of you know the Holy Spirit will give you direction with each individual situation? Whatever God says for you to do, he may ask you to forgive them, to pray for them. But whatever God asks you to do on top of, number one, pray for them. Number two, show them kindness. Number three, tell your story. It's not like you got to do it. Did I do the order? Did I do one, two, three? Come on, somebody. These are just things you can do to see people untied by the power of God. Amen? Amen. All right. Notice the two disciples did what Jesus did, and they were able to bring the colt, untied the colt, brought it to Jesus. Now, verse 7. When they got the colt into Jesus, now here's where I need you. Here's where I need you. These last few minutes, I need you to preach with me, all right? I have given you the directions that God has given me. Now, I also want to release to you the revelation that God gave me concerning some of this. If you're with me, somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Notice this. When the colt got into the presence of Jesus, people threw their clothes on the colt. And then Jesus was seated on the colt on top of the clothes. So you could say that when the colt, which represents people who don't know Jesus, come on somebody, when the colt got into the presence of Jesus, that stuff that was on people was taken off of them and placed underneath the dominion of Jesus. I have found out that, Ryan, when people are being born again in a church, when they come in and they receive Jesus, all of a sudden other people see this and they start taking what's on them and casting it down at the feet of Jesus. Maybe that's your story. I don't know. Who's been delivered of depression? Lift your hand. Who's been delivered of addiction? Lift your hand. Who's been delivered of a sickness in your body? Lift your hand. See, when we come into church, God begins to show you that I can not only set this person free and give them new life, I can also take what's on you off of you and put it under my dominion. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but I need the redeemed of the Lord to say so. I need somebody to prophesy that Jesus set me free. Come on, he took depression off of me. He took sickness off of me. He took doubt off of me. And it's now under his dominion. Is anybody glad that if it's under his dominion, now it's under your feet too? You've been seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, every name that is named. Come on, you have been given authority because of what Jesus did in your life. If you're glad about it, take about 10 seconds and give Jesus a shout of praise in here. If you're glad about it, give Jesus some praise in here this morning. I'm not where I'm going, but thank God I'm not where I used to be either. He set me free. Come on, can you remember every time Jesus has reached down and lifted your feet up and set your feet upon a rock? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This young man this morning, Ryan, this morning, this young man, 25 years old, looked like he had maybe possibly had some affiliation in the past, but had a past, and he stood there through the message, and then he came up at the end to our prayer team. I saw him before I walked in this morning, and I greeted him. God put him on my heart, so I'm preaching the message. He comes up after service, and he's praying with our prayer team, and he said this. He said, I'm tired of having to watch my back. I want to receive Jesus. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better husband. I don't want to be addicted anymore. And you know what he said? Our prayer team told him old things are passed away. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Can I get any new creations to give your God a shout of praise in here? Come on, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood. I'm glad. Is anybody glad? And here's what they told him. They said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when they told him that, he looked at him and he started weeping. He started weeping. He said the sinner's prayer in here today, and he hugged the prayer member and wouldn't let him go. It sounds like somebody who was tied up got untied and got... Come on, we need to give God a shout of praise for that right there. No man, no man, no man, no man. No man, no man, no man, no man. When I say we need to give God a shout of praise because somebody who was tied up just got untied, that is the spirit of prophecy. So when we praise him now, we're really praising him for the hundreds that are about to be set free. Can anybody in this church give God a shout of praise for the hundreds that are about to be set? Glory! Come on, somebody say yes. Look up at this picture right here. Just imagine your friends and your families feeling like this every day of their life. But somebody prays for them. Somebody comes and cares for them. Somebody shares their story or is a laborer that God sends across their path. And then you see those ropes and those chains fall because Jesus sets them free. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. So then, last couple of things God showed me. Whew. Come on, you guys getting anything out of this? You're working me hard today. Hallelujah. All right, so notice this, that when other people saw the colt and Jesus riding on the colt, people brought into the presence of Jesus, people began to bring what was theirs and lay it before Jesus. Notice this, when people saw this new colt come to Jesus and Jesus take the seat of authority upon this colt, the Bible says, because Jesus, notice this, Jesus rides in on people who haven't encountered him. Are you listening to me? Jesus rides in on people who haven't encountered him being untied and brought into his presence. Jesus rides in on people who haven't found him. When they start coming to find Jesus in every ministry all over the world for all time, when people who don't know Jesus start coming to him and encountering him, you see the presence of Jesus come in a heavier way. And people, the Bible says that people started taking what was on them and casting it before the feet of Jesus. They started taking trees and branches and placing it down so that Jesus could ride on what they put down. And here's what God said to me. He says, when people in this city start seeing, listen, man, I feel prophetic unction. Those of you that don't even know what prophetic unction is, it just means that God is saying today what he's getting ready to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Come on, are you with me? This relies as much on your faith pulling it out as it does my faith to release it. All right, so I remember two times this story came to me, Ryan. Came to me again in a gas station by another source. They said, Pastor Jason, we go to these city council meetings, and cops and businessmen and city leaders come to these meetings. School, superintendents, I believe, and people involved in school. And they said, this cop began to tell the story about how he wanted to meet you because these students, this particular student that he used to pull, take to jail all the time because of gang activity, he pulled up to him one day and said, hey, where are you going? Because he was walking on the wrong side of town for his set. Come on, somebody. And the cop pulled up to him and said, maybe I'll give him a ride and keep him out of harm's way. And this kid had started coming to 2SM, which is our youth ministry, months before. And this kid, who was known in the city for violence, started coming to church, gang activity, and breaking the law. Coming to church, encountering the presence of God. He was a cult that was tied up. Now you feel it. I said, now you feel it. He was a cult that was tied up. But he started coming in here and encountering the presence and the power of Jesus. And the next thing you know, God starts transforming him and changing him to where he starts walking away from those affiliations. And when the cop pulled up next to him and said, what are you doing? You know you shouldn't be on this part of, in this side of town. You could get hurt. He said, nah, man, it's not like that. He said, I'm not about that life anymore. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm on my way to church. Y'all can patty cake if you want to, but I prophesy that that is the first of many that will come in this place, and the city will begin to take notice and say, what do you have need of? Let us help you do it. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when I read that, they were taking palm trees and taking clothes and laying it before Jesus, Jesus said to me, Jason, if the church will start praying for unsaved people and going after unsaved people, he says, I'll put it on people's hearts to start laying treasure at your feet. Excuse me, not at your feet being Jesus, being Jason, your feet being the cause of Jesus. What I mean by this, God places it in people's hearts to bring wealth in the places that are glorifying Jesus and the kingdom is being expanded to where that, what if God, this is what God said to me when I saw that they were taking what was theirs and laying it. This happened in the book of Acts. A move of the Holy Spirit broke out, and the Bible says that everybody brought everything they had and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is what the Bible says. In other words, God puts it on people's heart. I want to get involved with resources to see revival break out in Salinas like never before. Here's what God told me. He said, you could just be one connection away from building and lands being given to you. What if we didn't have to make payments on a building, but God just paid for it, gave us the land, we owned it. We could put all that money into going after unsaved people. I'm talking prophetically, whether you realize it or not. And you say, well, what does this have to do with me? God could start bringing wealth through you if you'd start believing. Christians shouldn't have a broke mentality. Christians should have a blessing mentality. Can I teach on this for a minute? A little bit of tension in the room. Just for a moment, when you start talking about God bringing finance into the kingdom, religious devils take notice. Is he talking about money? Well, you know there's like more scriptures on money than there is any other thing in the Bible. And you come to this church, you won't hear it a lot. But when I do talk about it, it is biblical. Is that okay? Amen. And so, prophetically, I believe that what God is saying is, stay the course and keep our eyes on Jesus, hear me, and keep our eyes on what his eyes are on. What his eyes are on are people who don't know him. He said, I would that none should perish, but that all come to everlasting life. Amen. All right, so I saw the people laying down palm branches, which are a sign of wealth. Come on, somebody. I saw this, that you understand that when we obey God, God starts getting involved, and he does stuff in a month that would have took us a decade. This building right here, they told us no time after time after time. They told Pastor Terry no time after time after time. And yet, when God says it, they can tell. I found out their no isn't as big as God's yes. Come on, somebody. Are you ever going to get out of welfare? No. Are you ever going to get healed? No. Is your family ever going to get saved? No. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get, you say, shut up, devil. Your no isn't as big as my God's yes. And all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Hallelujah. I believe God has blessed people in the church and outside of the church with ability to for wealth to come to them. He's gifted them to make money. You know, the Bible talks about the gift of prophecy. The Bible talks about the gift of administration, the gift of faith, the work of a miracle. But then right there with it, he talks about the gift of generosity. That God has gifted individuals to cause wealth to come to them so they can be a conduit of blessing to see the kingdom of God expanded. I don't know about y'all. I think churches that love Jesus and are after his cause should be taking possession of lands and cities, not just Budweiser. Right? Like, people got no problem with Budweiser and computer places and whatever, Nike and all these brands. I'm not saying I got nothing against them. I'm just saying, if they can take up residence in our city, what can God do in our city? I'm prophesying about Salinas and about your city. Is anybody will believe with me that we can see God change a city? This church isn't here to patty cake. This church is here to see a city transformed. Hallelujah. Someone said, I didn't know I came to the excited church. My God. All right, so I've gone a little over time. But I do believe what I'm saying is carrying weight. I really do. And so they brought their palms, sign of wealth. It also says they were willing to do work that before they were not willing to do. When God begins to move in a city, people who were unwilling to join the cause of Christ before are now willing to, are now willing to join the cause of Christ now. I'm just hoping that what's in my heart is being communicated to you. Because I really do feel like today could be a turning point. Whew. You sense him right here? He has a million ways for you not to be financially strapped. You become a tither, you become a giver, and trust God. What would it be like if people walked in and said, Pastor, if you need to go buy that land right there in the middle of town, and you need to build a building that'll be a legacy for your kids and our grandkids, and a place where heaven comes to earth every week, come on, somebody, and transforms the city, you need to buy that, you don't worry about it. You tell us, you tell your businessmen how much it's going to cost, and we'll take care of it. And then everybody else who's not a businessman said, Pastor, don't leave us out of it. We want in. What if you looked at sowing into the kingdom like you looked at getting in on a great investment? All right? And so, Pastor, I know I'm a few minutes over. Is this all right? Okay. You guys okay? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. They brought things. They began to lay them at the feet. And Ryan, it says this. It says that when they untied the colt, it was right outside the door. When we untie colts, doors will open up. doors of resources, doors of influence, doors of anointing. Amen. Doors will open up, and it said right, it was right on the road. A road speaks of travel. God wants to take us to new places. And I believe today is a turning point. And I'm gonna end. I didn't know if I could get it all out today because he just gave me quite a bit. But let me just, is this all right? Okay, some of you are like, well, McDonald's is calling, but I'll wait. All right. Jesus' presence rides in on those who have never met him, being untied and allowing him to take the seat of authority in their life. How many of you know when Jesus takes the seat of authority in their life? Come on, key in right here. Jesus takes the seat of authority in their life, Satan can no longer have that seat of authority in their life. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, I'm closing. Last two thoughts here. Notice that when, I love this, Ryan, when they brought this cult that was tied up, which represents people who are tied up, when they brought this cult to Jesus, untied and brought him to Jesus, and this cult immediately got into carrying Jesus. Immediately got into carrying the presence of Jesus. You know, as soon as you are born again, you carry the presence of God. You are carriers of the glory of Almighty God. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? For your body and your spirit, they were purchased, bought with a price, and now you belong to him. Someone say, I belong to Jesus. And it says this, Cindy. I love this part. You ready, Steve? You ready for one more bit of revelation here? Says Ryan that when they saw the cult carrying Jesus, people began to look at Jesus and say, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You want to know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means save us now. When we begin to bring unsaved people into this church and they get untied by the power of Jesus, people all over Salinas are going to look and say, Jesus, save us now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I sense his presence. The last thing I want to submit to you, remember what he said? He said, Ryan, if they ask you questions, just tell them because the Lord has need of it. Look up at me, church. The Lord has need of you. Come on. The Lord has need of you. The Lord needs your prayer. He needs your willingness. He needs your obedience. And if we will run with him, if we will go after, is this stirring anybody up? If we will go after people who are tied up, pray for them, go after them, we're going to see. I believe we can see a city changed. And people who are doing crazy stuff right now in Salinas, they can raise their hands and say, Jesus, save us now. Man, I sense his presence. Those of you that will, just lift your hands to him. Jesus, what has been released, I declare is sealed by the Holy Spirit, declared into the atmosphere of this place, and will come to pass because you watch over your word to perform it. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, God, we give you the praise. We present ourselves before you, and we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. This week, make some notes. Who do you need to begin to pray for? Who do you need to begin to call? Who do you need to begin to tell your story to or to invite down the line when the Spirit would lead you? But all of us have people in our lives that we know are tied up, and they need Jesus who can untie them. Amen? Amen. Someone say, go find them and let Jesus untie them. Amen. Come on, did you get anything out of this morning, church? I believe you did. And Lord, we thank you that by your grace, today is a turning point. Today there's a shift. Today, there is releasement from heaven, empowerment from heaven to do that which you've called us to do. I thank you that we have hearts to evangelize. I thank you we have hearts to love and to pray and go after those who don't know you. We won't be like the church who just sang louder and watched the train go by and carry people to destruction. But that God will get out of the church, we'll pray, we'll go after, and we'll see you untie them and bring them into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.